Yes, it's time to have fun while the cat's away with Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy. We'll be following them into the land of Narnia on yet another exciting adventure. Also, we'll be giving you the chance to win your own set of the Chronicles of Narnia in our competitions. And we'll be sending birthday greetings to members of the Cat's Whiskers Club and telling you how to join if you're not already a member. Our C.S. Lewis expert, Brian Sibley, will be joining us later to give us the questions for our Narnia competition. First, though, let's listen to this week's episode of The Tales of Narnia. Here's Maurice Denham with part four of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Peter, Susan and Lucy, realizing that their brother Edmund had gone to betray them to the White Witch, set out with the beavers for the Stone Table, where they were to meet with Aslan. Edmund found his way to the witch's castle, but she was angry with him for not bringing his brother and sisters. Taking Edmund with her and her dwarf, the witch left by sledge for the Stone Table. But a change was coming over Narnia. First Father Christmas arrived, and then spring returned. The snow thawed, and the witch's sledge wouldn't run. Frustrated and afraid, she began to wonder what she might do with Edmund.
Four thrones in Caer Paravel. But what if only three of them were filled? Then the prophecy could not come true.
You mean, kill the human?
Why not? Even if Aslan is in Narnia, he isn't here to stop me.
But the other three?
Aslan may not stop long. And then we would fall upon the three at Caer Paravel and do away with them.
Still, it might be better to keep this one for bargaining with.
What? And wait for him to be rescued? No, I think not.
Over there, a kingfisher, see?
So it is.
It's so beautiful.
I never thought I'd see another kingfisher in these parts.
I wish I understood what it all meant.
It's as if everywhere's gone from January to May in a few hours.
Yes. I reckon this is Aslan's doing. I mean, we know that it was the White Witch's spells that made it always winter here, so it stands to reason that this spring is somebody else's doing. And I say Aslan.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Beaver wasn't right. After all, something's gone wrong, and badly wrong, with the witch's magic, and no mistake.
Come on, let's push on the last few miles to the top of the hill.
Look over there, the sea.
And there's the Stone Table.
It was a great grim slab of grey stone supported on four upright stones. And beside the table was a great pavilion with sides of yellow silk and cords of crimson and tent pegs of ivory. And high above it, a banner with a red lion fluttered in the breeze.
Look at all those creatures. That they'll be here to meet with Aslan.
Who are those strange-looking women?
Those are the tree women and the well women. They're some of the oldest folk in Narnia.
Yes, and it's their music you can hear.
I've never seen so many different animals. There's an eagle and a unicorn and a horse with wings.
And leopards and dogs.
Oh, and a pelican, look. Oh.
What are those things that look like horses with men's bodies?
Why, they're centaurs. They're among the noblest of all Aslan's people.
And that must be him. Aslan, I mean.
Yes, Aslan.
Yes, daughter of Eve. That'll be Aslan, all right.
When they tried to look at Aslan's face, they just caught a glimpse of the golden mane and the great, royal, solemn, overwhelming eyes. And then they found they couldn't look at him and went all trembling.
Go on. No, you first. No, no. Sons of Adam and daughters of Eve before animals. Psst. Don't forget to draw your sword.
We have come, Aslan.
Welcome, Peter, son of Adam. Welcome, Susan and Lucy, daughters of Eve. Welcome, he beaver and she beaver. But where is the fourth? Well, will no one answer me?
He has tried to betray them and joined the White Witch, O Aslan.
That was partly my fault, Aslan. I was angry with him, and I think that helped him go wrong.
We were all to blame in a way.
Please, Aslan, can anything be done to save Edmund?
All shall be done, but it may be harder than you think. Meanwhile, let the feast be prepared. Come, son of Adam, and I will show you a far-off sight of the castle where you are to be king.
With his sword still drawn, Peter went with the lion to the eastern edge of the hilltop. The sun was setting behind their backs, and the whole country below them lay in the evening light. Miles away was the sea, and just where the land of Narnia met the sea, at the mouth of the river was a castle, shining in the sunlight.
That, O man, is Caer Paravel of the Four Thrones.
Aslan.
I show it to you because you are the firstborn, and you will be high king over all the rest. It is your sister's home.
Susan!
Peter! Quick!
It's a wolf!
Get up into that tree, Susan!
Stand back, the rest of you! Let the prince win his spurs!
Climb the tree after her!
Hurry, Peter!
I'm coming, Susan! Hang on!
The wolf's seen him! The wolf's seen Peter!
Oh, no.
So, son of Adam, you think you're a match for Morgrim, do you?
Oh, do be careful! Look out, Bet! Look!
Use your sword, Peter! Now!
Haven't killed it yet!
Not yet!
Again! Strike again! Well done, son of Adam! Well done!
Oh, thank you, Peter, thank you.
We can't hurt you now.
Quick, quick! Centaurs, eagles! I see another wolf in the thickets! There, behind you! He's just darted away! After him, all of you! He will be going to his mistress. Now is your chance to find the witch and rescue the other son of Adam. Hurry! Come here, son of Adam.
Aslan.
You have forgotten to clean your sword. Wipe it clean upon the grass. Good. Now, hand it to me and kneel. Son of Adam, I knight you. Rise up, Sir Peter Wolfsbane.
If we are going to kill him, then we had better do it at once.
I would have liked to have done it on the stone table itself. That is the proper place. That is where it has always been done before.
It will be a long time now before the stone table can again be put to its proper use.
True. Well, I will begin.
I have seen them. They are all at the stone table with him. They have killed my captain, Morgrim. I was hidden in the thicket and saw it all. One of the sons of Adam killed him. Fly! Fly!
No! There will be no more flying. Go quickly. Summon all our people to meet me here as speedily as they can. Call out the giants and the werewolves and the spirits of those trees that are on our side. Call the ghouls and the bogles, the ogres and the minotaurs. Call the krulls, the hags, the spectres and the people of the toadstools. We will fight! I still have my wand. Will not their ranks turn into stone even as they come on? Be off quickly! I have a little thing to finish here while you are away.
Yes, Majesty.
Now, we have no table. Let me see. We had better put it up against the trunk of a tree.
Get up.
What are you going to do to me?
Be silent.
I won't. Let me go.
Tie him fast.
It will be a pleasure.
What's that? What's that noise?
The knife, of course. She's sharpening the knife.
Is that our people already?
No! It's the enemy! Centaurs, eagles, bulls, stags!
Knock the knife from her hand!
Turn the works! And the dwarf!
Don't let him escape!
Untie the human!
Where's the witch?
Who's got her?
You mean she's escaped?
I was after the dwarf! He's not here either!
What will happen?
Well, it wasn't my fault.
Here, what's that over there by the boulder?
It's only an old stump.
How's the humour? Let him lie down.
Give him some wine.
Here, drink this. Put it steady now.
Where am I?
You'll be all right in a minute.
After they'd gone, everything was perfectly still in the valley. If you'd been there, you would have seen the moonlight shining on an old tree stump and a fair-sized boulder. But if you'd watched long enough, you would have seen the stump walk across to the boulder, and the boulder sit up and begin talking to the stump.
The fools! They know nothing yet of my magic.
But Aslan, your majesty.
They have taken the boy. He was mine by right. Now Aslan will have to reckon with me.
This is the best breakfast I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
Good news for a good morning.
What's up, Mrs. Beaver?
Your brother's up. They found him.
When?
How?
What happened?
They brought him into camp late last night, and he's quite safe and sound.
Where is he, Mrs. Beaver?
He's with Aslan right now.
Oh, that's not a meeting I envy the lad.
No. Let's go and wait for him.
Here they come.
Here is your brother, and there is no need to talk to him about what is past.
Hello, Peter.
Susan.
Hello, Lou.
Hello, Edmund.
I'm glad you're all right.
It's good to see you.
I'm sorry, everybody. I really am.
That's all right. It's over now. We're just pleased you're back, aren't we? Oh,
yes.
Thanks.
You did it, Aslan, just as you said you would.
I said all shall be done, but I also said it may be harder than you think. What is it, Leopard?
Sire, there is a messenger from the enemy who craves audience.
Let him approach.
Don't push me, Leopard. Those claws are sharp.
What is your message, son of Earth?
The Queen of Narnia and Empress of the Lone Islands desires safe conduct to come and speak with you on a matter which is as much to your advantage as to hers.
Queen of Narnia, indeed.
Peace, Beavers. Tell your mistress, son of Earth, that I grant her safe conduct on condition that she leaves her wand behind her at that great oak.
I agree to your terms.
My leopards will escort you to see they are observed.
A few minutes later, the witch herself walked out onto the top of the hill and came straight across and stood before Aslan. The three children who'd not seen her before felt shudders running down their backs at the sight of her face, and there were low growls from all the animals. Though it was bright sunshine, everyone felt suddenly cold. The only two who seemed at their ease were Aslan and the witch. It was the oddest thing to see those two faces, the golden face and the dead white face, so close together.
She don't look him in the eyes, you notice.
Mrs. Beaver.
You have a traitor here, Aslan.
Well, his offence was not against you.
Have you forgotten the deep magic?
Let us say I have forgotten it. Tell us of this deep magic.
Tell you? Tell you what is written on that very table of stone which stands before us? You at least know the magic which the Emperor put into Narnia at the very beginning. You know that every traitor belongs to me as my lawful prey, and that for every treachery I have a right to kill.
Oh, so that's how you came to imagine yourself a queen, because you were the Emperor's hangman. I see.
Peace, Beaver.
And so that human creature is mine. His life is forfeit to me. His blood is my property. He knows that unless I have blood, as the law says, all Narnia will be overturned and perish in fire and water.
It is very true. I do not deny it.
Oh, Aslan, can't we do something about the deep magic? Isn't there something you can work against it?
Work against the Emperor's magic?
I only meant...
Hush, child.
Fall back, all of you. And I will talk with the witch alone.
They all obeyed. It was a terrible time, this. waiting and wondering while the lion and the witch talked earnestly together in low voices.
You can all come back now. I have settled the matter. She has renounced the claim on your brother's blood.
But how do I know this promise will be kept? Very well. Till the appointed time.
We must move from this place at once. It will be wanted for other purposes. We shall encamp tonight at the fords of Beruna.
I wonder how he settled matters with her.
After hearing that roar, Mrs. Beaver, I'm not going to be the one to ask.
After a meal, which was taken in the open air, they all set off in a northeasterly direction, walking at an easy pace, for they hadn't far to go.
Peter, son of Adam, walk with me, and listen well to what I have to say to you.
I will, Aslan.
As soon as she has finished her business in these parts, the witch and her crew will almost certainly fall back to her house and prepare for a siege. You may or may not be able to cut her off and prevent her from reaching it. This means that you must have two plans for battle. One for fighting the witch and her people in the wood, and the other for assaulting her castle. The people of Narnia, not serve the witch, will fight loyally for you, but you must use their individual skills wisely. If you're in the open, the centaurs, bulls, and stags will provide you with a swift, strong cavalry. But if you find yourself in the woodland, then you must use the birds and smaller creatures. And remember to use the hawks and eagles, for you will find no better lookouts than them.
But you will be there yourself, Aslan.
I can give you no promise of that. But I will give you all the advice I can. And I have great confidence in you, son of Adam.
It was still afternoon when they came down to a place where the river valley had widened out, and the river was broad and shallow. This was the fords of Beruna, and here they made their camp. That evening, something seemed to be wrong with Aslan. He looked so terribly sad, as if his great heart were going to break. Aslan's mood affected everyone that evening, and when they finally went to their beds, Lucy couldn't sleep for thinking about the change which had come over the lion.
Lucy?
Yes?
Can't you get to sleep either?
No, I thought you were asleep. Susan?
What?
I've got a horrible feeling. Something about Aslan. Either some dreadful thing is going to happen to him, or something dreadful that he's going to do.
Do you really think he's going to leave us tonight, Lucy?
Where is he now? Is he here in the pavilion?
No, I don't think so.
Let's go outside and have a look round. We might see him.
All right, let's. We might just as well be doing that as lying awake here. Look.
What?
Over there, just where the trees begin. There's Aslan walking away into the wood.
Come on, let's follow him.
He's going back towards the stone table.
Doesn't look much like the Aslan we first met. He's walking so slowly and hanging his head as if he were terribly tired.
Oh, Lucy, I'm frightened for him.
He's stopping.
He's seen us.
Oh, children. Children. Why are you following me?
We couldn't sleep.
Please, may we come with you, wherever you're going?
Well, yes, I should be glad of company tonight. Yes, you may come, if you will promise to stop when I tell you, and after that leave me to go on alone.
Yes, of course, we will.
Thank you, Aslan. Dear Aslan, what is wrong? Can't you tell us?
No. I am sad and lonely. Lay your hands on my mane so that I can feel you're there, and let us walk like that.
And so the girls did what they would never have dared to do without his permission, but what they'd longed to do ever since they first saw him, buried their cold hands in the beautiful sea of fur and stroked it, and so doing, walked with him.
Oh, children, children, here you must stop. And whatever happens, do not let yourselves be seen.
Oh, Aslan.
Farewell. Farewell, both of you.
Should we go back, Lou?
No, let's stay. We can at least hide in those bushes.
And this is what they saw. A great crowd of people were standing all around the stone table. And though the moon was shining, many of them carried torches which burned with eerie-looking red flames and black smoke. But such people, ogres with monstrous teeth, and wolves and bull-headed men, spirits of evil trees and poisonous plants. In fact, all those who were on the witch's side and whom the wolf had summoned at her command. And right in the middle, standing by the table, was the witch herself.
The lion is come!
The lion has come!
Attend me, cruels and hags and incubuses! Wraiths, horrors, ifrits, sprites, ortimies, woozies, ogres and ettins! Behold, the fool has come! Bind him fast!
Oh, why doesn't he spring on them?
Oh, Aslan, do something!
You there! Hags, dwarfs, apes! Bind him, I say!
They're rolling him over.
Why does he let them?
Now they're tying him up.
I don't understand why this is all happening.
The lion is bound!
We have bound the great beast!
Well done!
You'd think they'd done something brave.
One blow from his paw could have killed all of them.
Drag him to the table!
Stop! First, let him be shaved.
Here, give me the shears. I am not afraid to shave him.
His lovely golden mane.
Why? He's only a great cat after all.
Is that what we were afraid of?
Puss,
puss. Poor pussy.
How many mice have you caught today, pussycat?
Would you like a saucer of milk?
Pussum.
Oh, Susan, how can they?
I don't know. He looks braver and more beautiful than ever.
Muzzle him.
Make sure those knots are tied tight.
Cowards. Are they still afraid of him even now?
Bring him to the stone table.
Oh, my God, Bertie.
What is she doing now? She's sharpening some kind of knife. An ugly, nasty-looking thing that looks as if it's made of stone, not metal. Look. They're lifting him onto the stone table.
Silence! Silence, all of you!
Oh, Aslan!
I can see his face in the torchlight. So sad. Not angry, not afraid. Just sad.
And now, who has won, Aslan? Fool! Did you think you can save the human traitor? Now I will kill you instead of him as agreed in our pact, and so satisfy the deep magic. But when you are dead, what will prevent me from killing him as well? And who will take him out of my hand then? Understand that you have given me Narnia forever. You have lost your own life, and you have not saved his. In that knowledge, despair and die!
Poor Aslan. What a wicked witch she is. Don't be too upset, though. Listen next week and see what happens. I wonder why authors like C.S. Lewis write such sad parts in their stories. You're the expert, Brian. Perhaps you could tell us.
I think all stories can be used to do different things. And I think writers have often turned to fairy tales and to legends and folk stories, and sometimes to science fiction stories as well, in order to be able to tell us something more than just an adventure, to be able to tell us something about ourselves, maybe even something about the world we live in.
Well, on a happier note, now for our Narnia competition. Let's hear the answers of last week's questions.
In last week's questions, I asked, what was the animal that Edmund thought was made of stone, but who turned out to be real? Well, that was the terrible wolf. Who did Lucy, Peter and Susan and Mr. and Mrs. Beaver meet on a sledge? That was Father Christmas. And what was one of the presents given to Peter? Well, that was either a sword or a shield.
And the three winners of our sets of the Chronicles of Narnia are Philip Lawrence from Somerset, Benjamin Steele from Darlington and Julie Beach from the New Forest. Well done and happy reading. Here's Brian with this week's questions.
Who was it who brought a message to Aslan from the witch? Can you remember what the table was made of? And what did the White Witch and her people do to Aslan before they laid him on the table?
OK, put your answers on a nice colourful postcard. It can be any sort, but make sure you write your name and address clearly alongside. Have a pencil and paper handy, because I'll be giving you the address later on in the programme. It's time now to open our birthday book, and here to help me is Abigail Doherty, our young actress who plays Susan in the serial.
Many happy returns to Dorcas Towell, Jake Versey, Victoria Spicer and Jonathan Webster.
Laura Rowley, Kathleen Arbuckle, Gareth Bailey and Michelle Reed.
Alice Tarleton, Hannah Welsh, Laura Stafford and Ross Grimmett.
Tristan Lund, Tom Donnelly, Jacqueline Eichler and David Dart.
Paul Harvey, Philippa Lingard Lane, Lucy Atkinson and Susan Peters.
Nicola Brunt, Lucy Martinson, Simon Dennis and David Mathias.
Benjamin Pym, William Knight, Benjamin Druitt and Claire Holmes.
Robert Polden, Hayley Pitt, Karen Allen and Alex Collins.
Joanna Johnston and Deborah Howe.
Eleanor and Chloe Standen.
And finally, Rachel Fraser and Carol Mosedale.
And also, happy birthday to Sophie Claire Slaney of Powys in Wales, Simon Lounsborough from Yorkshire, and Sam Truman from Buckinghamshire. Remember, if you'd like to become a member of the Cat's Whiskers Club, write to us with your details to the Cat's Whiskers address, which I'll be giving you shortly. And do be patient, because it does take a few weeks for your names to be included on the birthday list. Now, we've had a terrific response from the postcard competition, one of them from Clive and David, who sent a picture of their own house, which was actually the house from where C.S. Lewis wrote his Tales of Narnia and spent 32 years of his adult life. There's also some smashing drawings from last week's episode, again making the choice difficult. Here are the 10 winners, though. Dominic Berry from Wales, Emily Hato from Nottingham, Sally Nesbitt from York, Kerris Wilson from Sheffield, Thomas Hato from Nottingham, Saul Taylor from London, Jessica Sains from Mansfield, Thomas Corey from Tyne and Wear, Julian Wilkinson from Dorset, and Dominic Lawson from Nottingham. Well done to you all, and thank you to those who weren't so lucky this week. Keep your pencils and crayons ready, though, because I want you to draw a scene from this week's episode. Put it on the back of a postcard with your name and address clearly written. The address is Cat's Whiskers Summer Special, BBC PO Box 40, Manchester M601FR. That's it for this week. Next week, while the cat's away, I'll be back with more competitions along with Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy in the land of Narnia. Until then, bye-bye.
And while the cat's away, the producer of the Cat's Whiskers Summer Special is Julia Brooke. Taking part in episode 9 of the Tales of Narnia were Maurice Denham as the Professor, Stephen Thorne as Aslan, and Rosemary Martin as Jadis. Other parts were played by Peter Craze, Simon Cuff, Michael Deacon, Abigail Doherty, Alison Draper, David Goodland, Paul Gregory, Stephen Harold, Stephen Hodson, Neil Jeffrey, Polly March, Camilla Power, Henry Power, Eva Stewart, and Stephen Tompkinson. The music for the serial was composed by Elizabeth Parker. Tales of Narnia, which has been dramatised in 10 parts by Brian Sibley, was produced by Jeff Marshall-Taylor for BBC School Radio. And you can hear the final episode of the Tales of Narnia next week in the Cat's Whiskers Summer Special. Well, we settle down next to the Radio 4 bookshelf this evening, and to begin the new season, Nigel Ford leafs through a new book by Martin Amis, A Tale of Murder in London at the Turn of the Century, and John Pilger's A Secret Country, Australia, his native land. Nigel also finds out what the ballerina said to The Economist, but I'll leave that to him to explain in Bookshelf at 8 o'clock this evening here on Radio 4.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. The government's Marine Accident Investigation Branch has begun an inquiry into the collision this morning between two tankers off Humberside. About 100 tons of oil spilled into the North Sea, and pollution experts have spent the day trying to break up the slick. Coast Guard say the risk of pollution to the shoreline is slight, but there's concern about the danger to wildlife, especially seabirds. In the Soviet city of Lvov in the western Ukraine, more than 100,000 people have taken part in an illegal open-air church service in March. They were appealing to the Soviet authorities to legalize the Ukrainian Catholic Church, banned by Stalin in 1946. Although the demonstration was illegal, the hardline authorities in the Ukraine didn't try to prevent it. A convicted murderer who's described as extremely dangerous is being sought after he escaped from the secure ward of a psychiatric hospital in Lanarkshire. John McHugh escaped by climbing through a window. Reval Alderson reports.
McHugh, who's 5'8", of slim build, was